Amen, amen. Let's pray together as we begin today. Lord, we thank you that you do not fail, that you don't know how. God, that you deliver, you bring victory. You only know victory. I thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, who rose victorious over the grave. And I ask today that we would celebrate that, that we would see your son, Jesus, clearer today, and that you would be exalted, you would be honored, you would be glorified today. And where there is defeat, where there is fatigue, where there is weariness today, I ask that you would call us out and into life, Father. Be honored, be glorified here today. We ask it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. You guys can have a seat. Hey, you guys showed up for mom today. Look at you. Hey, make a little bit of noise for your moms. Don't golf clap. Celebrate your moms. That's what's up. Moms, we're glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here. There's about 20 guys in the room that are like, oh, God, I knew today was a big day. I knew something was happening. Uh-oh. Hey, if I haven't met you before, my name is Skylar. I'm the student ministry director here at Cross Point Church. So grateful you guys are here with us. We're in week two of a new series we're calling Family Chat, and we're chatting about family. That's what we're doing in this series. All right. Last week, Pastor Paul opened with the importance, the call for us to lead our families, and our kids spiritually. The big overarching call for that. And today, what I want to do is look at three principles that we see in Jesus relating to children, three principles that we can use in our parenting in a way that is going to honor the Lord and benefit our children in our homes. Now, I know what you're thinking, Skylar. You're so young and vibrant and full of life, and I don't appreciate your laughter. But how could you possibly have enough experience with parenting to talk with us today to deliver this message? First of all, thank you. Second of all, I want to say that parenting is by far the most influential thing in my life, that I have been shaped by nothing more than parenting in a couple different ways. Before I ever had my first son, before I ever became a father, parenting was the most significant factor in my life, the parenting that I received. In large part, I'm a product of my biology and the behavior of my parents and my home. Parenting has shaped me long before I was one. And so I can look back and see that I have been shaped by the parenting that I came from and that God has called me out of. But now I am shaped by the parenting that God has called me into. It is the most significant factor in who I am. And by God's grace and by God's mercy, my own parenting has brought about more healing in my life, perhaps, than any other thing. It has been hugely significant in my life. There's a phrase that I use from time to time. Say that my fatherhood, in many ways, has been an undoing of my childhood. We are shaped by the parenting we come from, and we're shaped by the parenting we're called into. And no matter who you are, I would say that that's probably true for you. I don't know that anything shapes us more than parenting. And if you're currently a parent, if you're currently raising children, you feel the weight of this. You feel the weight of the parenting that's before you, the parenting that you're in. And I've talked with a lot of people, I've been in ministry a little while. I've seen a lot of different circumstances. And the reality is, for many of us, what it is that many of us are called to give parenting that we never received. The struggle we face as modern Christian parents is that a lot of us are called to give parenting that we never received. Coupled with the fact that there's so many different voices telling us how to do that, and different approaches, different styles, different techniques, and you have to do this, you have to give them that, the weight of the fact that it feels like everyone's looking at us and everyone's got something to say, it can be overwhelming. And so today what we want to do, we want to look at Jesus' interaction with children in a crowd and see his approach to who they are and see three principles today that are going to help us form our parenting. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. I just want to give you a heads up. There's going to be a good bit of things. Excuse me, a good bit of things up on the screen. They're meant to be helpful to you to write them down. They're not meant to be a burden. There will not be a test after this, all right? But if you're following along on the app, there's a lot of fill-ins as well. There's three approaches, there's sub-points, then there's three things at the end. There's a lot of things today, but I'm gonna keep us on the rails, all right? Mark chapter 10 is the second book in the New Testament. It's Mark's gospel account of Jesus's life. And we're gonna start in verse 13. It says this, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." So we see in Jesus that he embraces children. And that is our first principle today, is that Christian parents embrace their children. Christian parents embrace their children. I want to look to the example of Jesus and then see a couple different ways that we can model this and live this out in our lives as well. So the setting is that they're around and there's a group of people that are bringing these kids to Jesus to be blessed, that they would receive a blessing from Jesus. They know who he is and what he's done, and they want to receive a blessing. And the disciples start to send them away. And I love the ESV translation. It says that Jesus was indignant when he sees that. They go, "Hey, get these kids out of here." Jesus, you can almost hear him. "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Let the children come to me. Let the children come to me." And we see in verse 16, it says that he took them in his arms and blessed them, laid hands on them. Jesus embraced children. As Christians, how do we embrace our children? How do we embrace our children? There's a couple ways that I want to highlight. First one will be really specific, and then we'll go broad after that. The first way that we can embrace our children is to show physical affection. We can show physical affection. Hug your kids. Snuggle your kids. Hold your kids. Show your children physical affection. And I can feel it in the room. I can feel you like pulling away. Right now, you're like, "They just want to touch me all the time." I know, right? Well, physical touch isn't my thing. If you have kids, it is now. Well, I just wasn't raised in a touchy-feely home. Create one. You're like, "Hey man, I come from a long line of no touchers and you're butting in right now." I know. I just want to share with you a bit of information about the importance of touch with kids. Researchers discovered that babies who aren't held, hugged, or nuzzled enough can stop growing and even die. For example, in the 19th century, most institutionalized infants in the United States died from marasmus, or wasting away, as it was commonly known. In 1938, Bellevue Hospital in New York reduced infant mortality from 30 to 35%. So their situation was that more than 3 in 10 of their children were dying. And they reduced that mortality rate down to less than 10%. By requiring infants to be held, walked, and cared for several times a day. We are wired to need to be held. It's not just about the affection. We need to know that we're accepted, that we're loved, that we're embraced, that we belong. And physical touch does this. I'm not saying that it needs to be every moment of all the day that your home is just snuggle fest and that's what, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But what we don't want our Christian children to grow up and say things like, no, I know my dad loved me, he just never hugged me. No, I know my mom loved me, she just didn't want me to ever touch her. And I know what it's like to be overstimulated. I get it. We just don't want our kids to walk away with those stories. And so I would also ask, if you're one of those people, like, I just can't do it. Have you asked yourself why? Have you gotten to the bottom of that? And for some of you, there's no deeper thing. You're just like, look, I'm a little claustrophobic. I don't like when my pants are too tight, okay? It makes me itchy. That's fine. But for others of you, like, you've been really hurt. Like, people did some things to you that your body can't just let go of. And maybe to the point that you've believed some things about yourself that you're not even worthy of love. And you're just surrounded by these kids who just want nothing more than to give it to you. And you just don't think that you deserve it. And for some of you, not for everybody, but for somebody today, you're going to have to rebuke some lies today in order to be able to embrace your kids fully. That's the first way that we embrace our kids. It's physical affection. The second way is that we embrace who your children are. We want to embrace who your children are. Is your family, is your home a place where it is safe for kids to be themselves? Is your home a place where it's safe for kids to be childlike? Is it okay for them to be loud and messy? Is it okay for them to make mistakes? There is a lot more to embracing our children than hugging them. We have to embrace their nature. We have to embrace who they are. And if we're honest, Jesus makes this look and sound easier than it actually is. In this scene, Jesus goes, "Let the little children come to me." And we go, "Oh, Jesus, he's the best. Aw." It's not so easy. It's not so easy. As much as we love our kids, it's not so easy. Like, you've all had that moment where you're getting your kid ready, right? And you put him in their new cute outfit. Maybe it's Mother's Day, I don't know. Put him in their new cute outfit, and they look adorable, and you're still on time, right? And you look at him, and your heart's full, and you smile at him, and you're like, oh, and they smile back. And then you hear that sound of them just blowing out that outfit. Right? And it's a very distinct sound. Sounds like chili shot out of a t-shirt cannon. For all of our non-parents. I'm sorry. Some of the moms here are like, I brought my 86-year-old mom here, and this the youth pastor, it figures. I'm sorry. Kids are inconvenient. Kids are inconvenient. They don't care about your schedule. They don't care about your timelines. In fact, many of us have given up many, many things for our kids. And if we're honest, it is not hard for us to resent them because of what we've given up, what it costs. Lord knows how many Saturdays you've given to athletics. God knows how many weeknights you've spent at just awful middle school band concerts. The Lord sees you. It's hard. Your kids are far more likely to flourish if we can embrace who they are as kids, if we can make space for messiness and silliness, if we can embrace it, if we can schedule it even, if we can actually be intentional about it. Do tea parties for your daughters. Get whoopee cushions for your sons. It works. Let them be who they are. Let them be who they are. Embrace your kids. That's our first principle. Christian parents embrace their kids. Secondly, Christian parents engage their children. Christian parents engage their children, talking specifically about time. The disciples saw these children as an interruption, as an obstacle, as an issue, right? Get these kids. Jesus is ministering. He's got things to do. We have schedule. We got to be in a different place. These kids are interrupting, and Jesus very much views it differently. That's not who these children are to Jesus. Jesus is not so concerned with his schedule or his obligations that he had no time for these kids, and they in turn become the focus of his time, that he ordered his time around these children. Let's assume, if you have kids, they turn 18, and then they go off to college, and then they move away. They don't come back anymore. Let's assume that that would happen. I know that it's 2024, and I might as well say, let's assume that a unicorn just flies across our auditorium. I know. Let's just play along, okay? Let's assume that in 18 years, your kid goes to college, that they leave. We go, 18 years. 18 years, that's a long time. And it is. But it's only 18 summers. Years go slow, but like, don't summers go fast? And you only got 18. And some of you are doing the math. You're like, I got 4. Some of you are on your last one. And you're grieving it. Because you remember when they were in kindergarten. And you're like, how did it happen? We just don't have the time that we think that we do. We don't have time that we think that we do. I've got to be real careful because I've had to repent of the fact that I want my kids to be further down the line than they are. I want my kids to be older. I want them to be more mature, more independent. And what that is me resenting where they are. Like, I love it. They're 6 and 2, and I love 6 and 2. They're cute, they're fun, they're playful, but also I want them to be able to make their own sandwich and wipe their own butts. And it's both things. But my struggle in my heart is that I just don't want to look up and go, man, how did it happen? Because we don't have the time that we think that we do. So how do we maximize it? How do we maximize it? First, be intentional with your family's time. Be intentional with your family's time. There is a 0.03% chance that your kid becomes a professional athlete. 0.03% chance that your kid becomes a professional athlete. But I've seen a lot of families lay their families at the altar of travel sports for a 0.03% chance. However, there is a 100% chance that your kids will stand before God and that you will and have to give an account. Are we scheduling that? Are we being intentional with the time? You only have so much time. You decide who gets it. You decide where it goes. So what do we do? You're like, look, I'm with you, you're right, but I'm already overscheduled. I'm already in the midst. What do I do? Okay, first thing, you got to start saying no. You got to start saying no. You don't need to do everything. And some of you need to start saying no to some things you've already said yes to. You're committed to some things that are not working, they're burning your family out, and you need to quit them. Oh, I would never. You need to. You need to. Well, I'm already committed. Who cares? Who cares? You have to give an account to what you've done with your time with your children. Some of you need to bail on some stuff so you can start showing up for your kids. Okay. All right. Okay. A couple moms like, okay, all right. See ya. So start saying no, and then after that, like once we've gotten to that place where maybe we've restored some order, we want to prioritize natural family rhythms. Natural family rhythms. Regular everyday things, like wake up, car rides, meals, and bedtime. And I don't even mean every day, 4 or 5 times a week. If we're doing this on a regular basis, and I'm not even saying anything crazy. You don't have to get ordained and learn how to play the guitar. That's not what I'm saying. But what would it look like if you're not doing anything in your home to raise Christian kids? What would it look like if when your kids woke up, there was some worship music playing? And I get that, like, I get that it feels weird when you're screaming at them to put their shoes on and then you're spanking, and I get it, right? And Reckless Love is playing in the background. I get it. But we gotta try, right? Just play some music in the morning. In the car ride for drop-off, what if we just prayed with our kids? Well, I'm not good at praying. Lord, be with my kids today. Thank you that they're mine. Amen. Just a simple prayer. Mealtime. First of all, eat meals together. I don't have time, right? Eat meals together. And then ask, hey, what was your day? Give me a high and low. What did the Lord do in your life today? Expect a lot of, That's fine. Keep asking. Keep asking. Create a culture in your home. Bedtimes. Pray together. Have them pray. Occasionally, read a Bible story. These are not insane things. But we have to try. We have to try. And some of you, you're already nailing this and stuff. I would also draw your attention to milestones. Be aware, are there birthdays coming up? Are they entering a new grade? Are they going to a new school? Is there a test? Is there a dance? Is there a boyfriend or girlfriend? I hope not. All right, but is there? Be aware of it. Kids need to be seen. Kids need to be recognized. They need to know they're significant in your lives. Dads, you gotta know their ages and grades and middle names. I didn't say social security. Let mom handle the social security number. But you need to know the order in which they were born. The school they go to. Nah, not to worry about the school. Just the other stuff. Kids need to be seen. They need to be known. All right. We want to embrace our kids, engage our children. And lastly, Christian parents encourage our children. Christian parents encourage our children. So in the middle of this scene, the disciples are trying to get rid of these kids. The disciples are trying to get them out of here. And Jesus actually turns, not only does he let them stay, he goes on to speak so well of them, to emphasize what it is about them that we should want to emulate. He lifts up these children. He exalts them in the midst of all of these people. He goes on to use them as the example. Unless you're like one of these children, the kingdom doesn't belong to you. Jesus emphasizes who these kids are. One of the most essential ways to encourage your kids is to eliminate discouragement. We want to eliminate discouragement. Do you speak well of your children? Do you speak well of your children? Do you do it in front of other people? And I know that a lot of people do, but I've also seen a lot of parents say some really hurtful things about their kids while their kids are around within earshot. They hear you. And you know they hear you because you'll be like, that's stupid. And then you'll just hear, you said stupid from the other room. They hear everything. And the more they hear you badmouth them, the more over time they're gonna go, oh, they don't want me around. And I pray that's not true. But when we're hurtful, it becomes their reality. Some of us say things about and to our kids that we would never say to adults. Because sadly, for some of us, perhaps for many of us, verbal abuse was just normalized in our home and the parenting that we received. We were insulted. We were talked down to. We were belittled. We were shouted at. And maybe you don't even know how to encourage. If that was you, listen, what was done to you was wrong, and I am sorry. I truly am sorry. But let's be done with it. Let's end it. Let's do something new. Let's create something different. Discouragement, verbal abuse, it creates this anti-gospel. Kids start to learn that they have to measure up. They have to be perfect, to be acknowledged, to be worthy of praise and encouragement. There's a lot of things that I mess up and do wrong, but one of the things that I try really intentionally to do right in this vein of encouragement is that whenever I put my boys to bed at night, and I don't every night, but whenever I do, I always try to say, hey, a number of things. Love you, pray for you, hug and kiss, all that stuff. But I always try to say, hey, I'm glad you're my son. Hey, I'm glad you're my son. And my oldest Henry, like, he's like, glad you're my daddy. Like, he knows the deal. I don't care. I don't care that he's not like, you aren't, I'm so happy. I don't care. I don't need him to do that. What I want, though, I don't want him one day to grow old and just not know. I want him to be astounded when he hears about the fact that some other kids didn't have dads that loved them. And then that tape plays. I'm glad you're my son. 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 We have to encourage our kids. Do not let your kids go to bed feeling like what you want to say is, I wish you were different. Because that's what discouragement does. We've got to fight against it. And then we also want to create a culture of celebration. We want to create a culture of celebration. And we want to start with the end in mind. We want to celebrate values, not just achievements, not just good grades and trophies and awards. We want to celebrate who we want our children to become. Celebrate kindness. Celebrate courage, generosity. Celebrate faith. Celebrate what we want our kids to become. And I say celebrate. I'm not saying that every time your kid shares, you pop off a confetti cannon. Although that'd be kind of dope. If you want to, I'm just saying, it's just little things. When they do small things, affirm them. Affirm them. For Christians, what we need to know is that celebration is cultivation. Celebration is, when we're celebrating, we're pointing them in the direction that we want them to go. Oh, you were kind. That's the way. Oh, you were generous. That's the way. Oh, you prayed over food. That's what we want to do. We're cultivating in our kids who we want them to become. So those are our principles. Those are the three principles for today. Embrace, engage, and encourage. Embrace, engage, and encourage. 3 points. They all start with the same letter. Shout out to my Baptists. All right? You're welcome. Easy to remember. But I want to highlight, as we wrap up, I want to highlight some foundations that we need to have in place to be able to do these. If we don't have these in place, these principles are going to be much more difficult to walk out. Not impossible, but they're going to be more difficult. And conversely, if we have them in order, it's going to make it more of an on-ramp into what we want to do. Here's the first one. Each of us need to address the parenting that we received. Address the parenting that you received. Look, if you got amazing parenting and you're still close to your parents and you love them and they're your hero, awesome. You're still going to have to answer the question of what works for you. What your parents did for you may or may not work for your kids. You have to ask those questions. What am I going to do to engage my kids to do these things with our kids? But others of us, and I fear many of us, still have open wounds from the parenting that we received. And you've got to reach out. You've got to get counseling. You've got to go to therapy. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. What your parents did to you isn't your fault, but it's even less your kid's fault. And so you've got to do something with it. You've got to do something with it, because they'll suffer if we don't deal with it. We need to close up our childhood wounds so we don't open up the same ones in our kids. We need to address the parenting that we receive. Secondly, we want to create and maintain a healthy marriage. And listen, I know there's lots of single parents, there's lots of single moms, and I know a number of them that are doing a great job, and they are giving all that they have into creating godly, strong, resilient children. And man, hats off to you. God bless you. The Lord sees the work that you're doing. But I don't run into many of them that are like, you know what, this is better. I don't need any help. Everything's awesome. And so I want to talk for a minute to our married couples. If you are married, get your marriage right and keep it right. Build a strong, healthy, bulletproof, stormproof marriage. If your marriage is hanging on by a thread, it's in shambles, and you're just staying just for the kids, we'll just get through this just for the kids, you are not doing them any favors. You're not set up well to parent your kids when you hate your spouse. Now, you could leave here and be like, sounds like he wants me to get divorced. I did not say that. I did not say that. Water it. Work hard on it. Do it. Oh, but it's, we've tried it. Keep trying. Keep working. Keep moving forward. Look, I truly believe that men tend to be the most significant factor in a child's life, in a child's home, whether they're present or whether they're absent. I have never met my father. I don't know who he is. And that has left huge marks on my life. There's been wounds that I'm navigating right now that I didn't even anticipate because of that absence in my life. But I would want to say, and I want to affirm, so much of whatever is good about me as a father is credited to the woman that my wife is. So families need men, but men, we need you, ladies. We need one another. We need to create strong marriages. And then lastly, go all in. Go all in. This will not happen casually. You're never going to raise godly children on accident. It's never going to happen. You're never going to look up one day and someone's going to go, man, you have amazing godly Christian kids. How did this happen? And you're going to go, I don't know. It's 5 years straight of unlimited iPad time and me always on my phone. We never talked or connected. Next thing I know, they have the whole Bible memorized. It's amazing. It's never going to happen. It is not a question of whether or not your kids will be shaped. It is a question of who will do it. They're being shaped. Who will do it, though? So you can remind your kids of the truth of God, or you can let the world create another depressed, anxious agnostic. Who is going to shape our kids? You can't punt on this. We don't have the time that we think that we have. And so I want you to feel the weight of that, but also I want to come behind it and say, but don't panic. But don't panic. Why? Because God is good. God is good. He is faithful. He's there with you. Oh man, I've messed up. Yeah, he knows. And he knows about the mistakes you're about to make. Some of you like in the parking lot on the way in today. He knows. He knows all your secrets. He knows the stuff you've never told anybody. And he has still chosen you for your children. You are called by God to your children. How do I know that? They're yours. You have them. He has given them to you. He has called you to parent your kids. But let's be courageous, knowing that he's with us, knowing that it is not his nature to leave or abandon us. Because we can agonize over every decision. We can follow every Instagram parenting or mommy page, and we can learn how to do all the different stuff and read all the different books. You're still gonna blow it. And there is new mercy for you every morning. What would that do to us as parents if we believed that? Give it all you got. Don't waste today. Trust in God. When we've really messed up, we have new mercies. And remember, this is the character of Jesus, that Jesus brings those who are lowly up. He goes and gets those who are marginalized, those who are on the fringes, those who are hurt, those who are downtrodden, those who are weak, those who are weary, those who are depressed and anxious and fearful. These are Jesus's people. These are Jesus's people. And for some of you, that's you today. Some of you, that's you today. And I want you to know, Jesus' call isn't just let the children come to me, but it is let my children come to me. That you're weary, you're broken, you're afflicted, you're downtrodden, you're hurt. And Jesus is calling to you, hey, just come home today. Just come home today. And the call is for you to be embraced by Jesus as his arms are open to receive you. Would you step into that today? Would you follow Jesus today? If we could bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute. it's possible that there's a number of us here today. We thought we were just coming to church with mom. But the Lord is here today. He's calling to some of you. And he's perhaps the only person who's ever had arms stretched out wide, excited for you to run into them. And if you feel his call to follow him today, I want to lead you in a prayer. You can pray my prayer. You could pray a prayer like it. But we just want to surrender to him today. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that he came and lived the perfect life I couldn't live, that he died and rose again on my behalf. I pray that you would welcome me into your arms and you would show me that I am loved. I believe, Lord, that you went to the cross, that you died and rose again because you love me. I repent of my sin. I leave my sin behind and I follow after you, Lord. Give me your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow after all that you have for me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, there's a card in the seat back in front of you where you can select that. You can just say, I decided to follow Jesus for the first time. We value that information. We want to know how we can pray for you, come alongside you, resource you, walk alongside you in your faith journey. Would you check that box, fill that out, and drop that in the drop boxes in the back of our auditorium or in our lobby as well. A couple more next steps. Number two, I will get help with blank. If I had a hunch, I think that for a lot of people, it's going to be marriages or our own childhood, our parenting that we received. We have some open wounds, and we need to seek help to get them closed. Would you be courageous enough to take that step? You don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to be embarrassed. There's a lot on the line, though. We need to close up these wounds. If your marriage is falling apart, get help. Do everything you can. Throw everything you can at this marriage. Make it work. Just do everything that we can. Third, I will cultivate healthy family rhythms. Maybe you need to have a conversation today, tomorrow. You sit down with your spouse and you look around and you say, look, here's our schedule. Here's what's going on. Here's our calendar. What are we getting rid of? What are we doing? Here's what the day looks like. Where are we going to have faith moments? What are we going to do? But you have to be intentional. You have to cultivate healthy family rhythms. And then lastly, I'll memorize Mark 10:15. It says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That's my prayer, is that we have a childlike faith. A faith that is innocent, simple, honest, humble. And we trust in the Lord. I pray that you know that Jesus has his arms open for you today, and that we would walk into them, and that we would model that for our kids today. I've been grateful to be with you today. Love to meet you in the First Time Guest Lounge after this if I haven't already. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus, that he shows us your nature, your care, your love. We're so thankful that you came and pursued us. I ask God that you would show us your love, help us to believe, and help us to model that for the next generation. We ask these things in your name. Amen.